Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. We are live at ESPN Bet here in Detroit,
Greektown.
After night one of the NFL draft, a night that saw six quarterbacks drafted in the top 12 of the draft. Q, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. What a night I had last night.
Man, you and me both, brother.
What did you do?
I went to bed this morning and got up this morning. So there's that. You know, the first round is always fun, but it's long. So, you know, just being over there on the side of the draft and checking out all the fans that came in, and it was massive. Detroit's done a fantastic job. Loved all the fans that was there. But then just going through and navigating the whole first round. So I literally was the last guy to leave the draft. The lady came by and said, sir, this place was supposed to close at 1 a.m. I said, okay. And she goes, it's 2. I was like, oh. So you were telling me I have to leave.
Were you doing game night last night?
No, I didn't do game night, but I was covering, obviously, the whole first round, and then I had some other work to do right afterwards, so I just said, well, I'm going to be my one-stop shop. So I just stayed there, and I was bunkering down, and I was working, and I guess people were leaving, and I wasn't really paying attention that people were leaving, and I looked around. It was me and, like, one other guy from NFL Films, and so we looked, and we're like, I guess it's time to go.
Q is such a fascinating individual. We learned yesterday he doesn't know how to stream. He doesn't know how to use the internet. He doesn't now know how to tell time, we've noticed.
I don't worry about time. I just don't worry about it.
Oh, boy. All right. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 minutes. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com for more information. Cam and Bubba will chime in because Cam was wonderful last night texting me. He knew the theme of the draft, and that was me. I'll explain coming up as to why I am saying that. But we mentioned six QBs drafted in the top 12. Caleb Williams, Q, going number one overall to Chicago. No surprise there. Jaden Daniels, number two to Washington. Again, no surprise there. We discussed yesterday, is it going to be chalky? Well, the beginning of the draft absolutely was. Drake May, 3 overall to New England. So much speculation about him not being there, or not being in New England, but being at number 3. Nothing happened there. You slide down. The Giants do not take J.J. McCarthy. There are no trades until pick number 10 in this draft. But the big story was not McCarthy going to Minnesota at 10. They traded up. It wasn't even Bo Nix going to Denver at 12. The biggest story of the draft by far, Michael Penix Jr., left-handed quarterback, 24 years old, out of Washington by way of Indiana, going to the Atlanta Falcons at number 8, a team that already signed Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million deal this offseason.
You know, the funny thing about that is as soon as it was announced and won, the big shock in the radio row room where I was at the draft was a big, oh, you know, like, whoa, I immediately thought about you. Because it was something that you had mentioned. You know,
Thank
like
you.
There's a possibility a quarterback could be drafted and slide and sit behind Kirk Cousins. He's a guy coming off an Achilles. And then you'll have a quarterback for a long time. And so I immediately thought of you and thought, why is Evan on my shoulder right now saying, great pick, great pick, great pick. How do I get rid of this guy? But I thought it made sense. And honestly, it was something that I thought that the Jets should have entertained as well.
You did say that
Aaron
yesterday.
Rodgers.
Yep.
So it didn't. It shocked me because I didn't expect it, but it wasn't one of those like, oh, that's an awful pick. I know a lot of Atlanta fans aren't happy, and I'm sure Kirk Cousins and his camp's not thrilled, but at the same time, it actually, for a team point of view, makes sense.
Do you think it was a good pick?
I think it was a good pick because I think Michael Penix is a good quarterback. I didn't think he was going to go number 8. I mean, we were on the show, and I was asking, is he going to go in the first round, right? Not only did he go in the first round, he went in the top 10.
Yeah, ESPN Bet had him at 32.5 in terms of the over-under.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, again, just because we've spent so much time analyzing the draft and analyzing where these players would go, this is a top 10 guy, this is a round 2 guy, this is a mid-round guy. And at the end of the day, it just proves that we really don't know. They didn't even really have him in for a visit. Right? I mean, Atlanta was never connected to Michael Penix. And then all of a sudden, number 8 overall, Michael Penix, there you go. Come on down. You're next up.
So I love this pick. It's my favorite pick of the draft. Okay. I do love Joe Alt, the offensive lineman out of Notre Dame, going to the Chargers.
I was surprised by that because he's a left tackle, and he's very adamant about playing the left tackle position, right? And so they have Rashawn Slater. So I was surprised that they picked him, but he's a really good offensive tackle, so they'll figure it out.
Yeah. So the reason I love this, and my QB rules have been mocked here on Greeny by Mike Greenberg many of times. They've been featured, by the way, on ESPN.com. But rule number two, draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one. The Atlanta Falcons last night drafted a QB when they wanted one, not when they needed one. And everyone is saying that it's anti this. Well, they could have picked a defensive player to help them right away. They could have drafted an offensive lineman or another weapon to help them right away. And my counter to that is, if you thought they were going to win the division before the draft last night, you still think they're going to win the division.
Right.
If you thought they could win a home playoff game in round one, you still think that. If you didn't think they were going to be able to get to a conference championship game, there was not a player they were going to be able to draft at number 8 overall, Q, that was going to take them to the conference championship game. So in terms of this year, I do not believe they changed their outlook at all relative to what they were going to be versus what they are. Where I do think they changed their outlook is if you are right about Michael Penix Jr., if Chris Canty on Sportsmanlike, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, is right about Michael Penix Jr., that man can play. What the Atlanta Falcons potentially have, and I don't know how many other teams can say this, would be a plan today for the next decade for legit high-level quarterback play.
No, you're not wrong. I can't argue any of those points. And the point that actually would back that up as well is if you look around the rest of the league at teams that are still looking for their quarterback. And has been looking for their quarterback for years, like the team that I cover in Las Vegas, the Raiders, where when Atlanta took Michael Penix at number 8, I think a big collective, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Came out of Raider Nation, right?
Yeah.
Because they all expected that Michael Penix, if it wasn't going to be Jaden Daniels, which we all knew was, you know, kind of pie-in-the-sky pipe dream, then it was going to be Michael Penix. I know I had reserved myself to saying, all right, you know, 13, they'll pick Michael Penix. So, you know, he's not here, so I won't be able to talk to him. But, hey, I mean, you know, good. I plan to talk about the Raiders selecting a quarterback. They didn't, obviously, because he went number 8. So it just really changed the trajectory, I think, of a lot of teams' plans for the draft, and it set Atlanta up really well.
Let's hear from Terry Fontenot, the general manager of the Falcons, who had a presser last night after round one of the draft that you heard right here on ESPN Radio. You heard again tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, on most of these ESPN Radio stations, talking about drafting Michael Penix Jr.
Being able to add Michael Penix Jr., when you can add a high-caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future. The draft is, you look at the future and you look at big picture, but we are very excited about that quarterback room. And again, Kirk is our quarterback, but adding Michael Penix is thinking about the future.
All right, he took us to the second half of this pick at number 8, Q, which is obviously the Kirk Cousins part of it. So the quarterback for the Falcons this year, assuming everybody's healthy, is Kirk Cousins.
Right, no doubt.
The quarterback for the Falcons next year, assuming everybody has healthy.
I would say it's Kirk Cousins.
Okay, so now we're into 2026.
Right.
The quarterback in 2026 is
Michael Penix Jr.
Okay, or Kirk Cousins, maybe.
Or Kirk Cousins, but right. I think at some point you definitely go ahead and pass the sticks on to Penix.
All right, so he's the quarterback for the next 2 years at 35 years old, guaranteed making over $100 million for those 2 years.
Right.
His agent, Mike McCartney, and I understand this is his job, I'm not blaming the agent in this case, but told ESPN's Pete Thamel that the Falcons only notified the quarterback that they would pick Penix while the team was on the clock. McCartney said there is frustration and confusion, coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better in 2024. Now, this is where I get annoyed by this.
Okay.
They are giving Kirk Cousins the job to quarterback a team that could win a division this year with weapons all over the place. Why is Kirk Cousins in Atlanta? Simply because they offered him more money than
Absolutely.
Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Not because it's his dream job or anything like that.
Right?
There's no connection, Jaden Daniels, Antonio Pierce style.
Right.
They just offered him more money than the previous team that he played for. I have been a Kirk Cousins fan for the entirety of his career. But guess what? Rule number three, QB rules. Pay QBs to make wide receivers great. Don't pay wide receivers to make QBs great. They are paying you, Kirk Cousins, to make everyone else better on your team. That's why they gave you the money. This draft pick does not even come close to impacting the team until 2026. You could say that's a negative. I say it's a positive. I think this is absolutely ridiculous in my mind for Cousins to complain about this.
Yeah, I just think that it was one of those he didn't see it coming, and so it kind of threw him off. And maybe he had a certain player in mind that he thought that they were going to take, and maybe they had had conversations about it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's got weapons there in Atlanta. It's not like he's void, right? I mean, even when you can go back to Green Bay when the Packers went and selected Jordan Love, you could argue and say that they could have actually added some weapons around Aaron Rodgers at the time, and that could have been part of the reason for his frustration with that pick. There's weapons there in Atlanta. It's not a bad pick at all, and we just heard, you know, the sound clip from the GM. It's for the future, and it's that's what the draft is for. Yeah, you want to impact the immediate, you know, year. That's a no-brainer. Fans want it. Your team wants to continue to improve. But it's also, if you draft really well, you should not have to spend a ton of money in free agency like they had to do this year to go get their quarterback. They're able to continue to, you know, reload the cupboard with nothing but talent, and that's what they'll have with Michael Penix waiting there.
Yeah, I get this is surprising, and maybe you want to argue that Atlanta should have talked to him about it first. Here's the thing that I don't understand.
Do they need to, though? Do they need to talk to him about it first?
But this has been out there.
Right.
We talked about this literally yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did we talk about it? Because Adam Schefter has put this out there before, that this was a possibility. I walked into the radio media room yesterday to meet up with somebody I've known for a decade plus, a sports anchor in Atlanta by the name of Maria Martin. Wonderful sports reporter.
Yeah.
She covers the Falcons. This is before the draft. Maria and I had a conversation. I said, where do you think they're going to go? She said whatever she said. I said, I bet you they'd go Michael Penix. She said, really? I said, I don't know. I got a weird feeling about that. So if I know and you know because Schefter knows, well, that's just negligence by Cousins. Pay attention. The moment you see it, reach out to the Falcons and say, wait a minute, is this true? Walk me through this.
Right. No, that's a good point. And maybe he just thought that, hey, they just gave me the bag, so there's no reason to think that they're going to take a quarterback. And, you know, maybe.
But that's the exact reason to take a quarterback in my mind.
Well, clearly in his mind, not. You know, maybe he thought that Brock Bowers, who eventually went to the Raiders at 13, maybe they thought that was the reason. You know, add him, add, you know, another offensive lineman, add a defensive player. I thought the first defensive player was going to go off the board there at Atlanta. But, you know, it's not. He can't complain about weapons because the weapons are there.
Right. So, okay, as we look at this whole situation now in Atlanta, it is clearly the biggest thing from the draft. I don't think there's any question about that.
Agreed.
Cousins not going to ask out.
No.
Penix is not going to play and demand to play immediately.
No.
And their fortunes for this season are not going to change. So what is really the issue?
You know, I guess the one thing, I mean, as we start to talk about it and when you'll actually see Penix on the field, I mean, he is a little bit older of a quarterback. Not that it's a problem with me, because quarterbacks, you know, they can play for a very long time. He's a little bit older. You know, maybe if he's on the shelf too long, you think that, okay, hold on. At some point, you know, you got to get this guy on the field before he's 27, right? So, I mean, what is he, 24 right now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, maybe there's – but that's nitpicking. You know, I mean, that's me trying to find something. That's not like there's a big issue or big red flag. That's me looking for something, you know. And of course, quarterbacks are going to want to play, but I think he's going to a really good situation there in Atlanta.
Q, I know it's situational, okay? Mm-hmm. But blindly, are you somebody that believes quarterbacks should play right away or have time to sit, learn, and then play?
Man, that's a good question.
And I know it's situational.
It is absolutely situational. I think that they should probably sit. I think they should probably sit and then learn, you know, at least a year. You know, like even Patrick Mahomes, he was, you know, for the most part, his rookie year didn't play until the very end of the season. You know, Jordan Love obviously had a couple years off. I actually do prefer that, but we know now that when guys are drafted in the first round, you want to see them on the field immediately.
Right, but that's the counter to all of this, right? So you're talking about the age. The age doesn't really matter because in a perfect world, if you're looking at when these guys will play, so Drake May is, what, 21 years old or something like that?
Right.
So Drake May should not play before 22, 23. He may have to.
But Penix is already there. He's already, 24. So that's, you know what I mean? So that's the thing. So if he was 21, and again, I'm nitpicking when I'm talking about that. I'm looking for a reason to say, yeah, maybe they could have done something else. I'm not mad at the pick.
A lot of people are.
Oh, yeah. No, I know.
Cam and Bubba, where are you guys on this? I mean, obviously, well, Cam, credit to you. What a nice, humble man you are to immediately reach out on the quarterback rules here on Greeny, because you knew. Greeny has mocked me. He absolutely mocked me for months on these QB rules, and they came into fruition last night.
Yeah, love the QB rules. I was a defender of them at the start, and you know it bore fruit last night. So I think you had a great night last night. It's hilarious that Q says that he was thinking of you the minute they picked Michael Penix Jr.
I know. That's weird, right?
No, I'm looking at a text that I sent Evan right after they picked Michael Penix Jr. that said, thought of you immediately because I knew he had all this stock into the QB rules and they played out. So I don't like the pick, I think, as much as Evan does. I don't know if anyone likes the pick as much as Evan does, but
right.
I think part of the projection for the Falcons and thinking that they were going to be so good was also based on who they were drafting in the first round. And I understand, you know, a defensive end is not going to immediately carry you to the Super Bowl, but the margins are very slim in the NFC and in the NFL in general. So I do think not improving the team this year in the first round is more questionable than you're probably giving it credit for.
Okay, but if you use Q's example, Q brought up specifically the Jordan Love pick. This can never be proven because it's an inexact science. I believe drafting Jordan Love improved Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He only had an MVP season. And had so, a little something to prove.
So the way I look at it, is maybe they thought, hey, we're getting Kirk Cousins at an A minus. Maybe this could make him an A.
Right.
Just chip on shoulder. One other thing, and I know we got to get to Cam trivia here, but one other thing. I think the Atlanta Falcons brass, and this doesn't help my argument, but it is consistent with what has happened. The Atlanta Falcons brass has proven that they are in job preservation mode. What do I mean? Rich McKay, the president of the team, did not want to hire Bill Belichick, not because he wouldn't be the best coach, but because he knew there was a chance that his role would be limited. Now, that comes off as a slight to Raheem Morris. Let's be clear. Raheem Morris has as good of a resume to earn a head coaching job as anyone in the league. He should be a head coach. Why? He's coached offense, defense, he's young, and he's been a head coach before. I love Raheem Morris's resume, and I think Raheem Morris is a good coach. So that's separate. Job preservation for the Falcons. This is job preservation. If they hit on this pick and you don't have to look for a QB,
right.
You keep your job. Bill Belichick did the Pat McAfee show last night because he missed on a quarterback with Mac Jones.
Right. Facts.
If Kirk Cousins is good and then Penix becomes good, the people running this team don't have to look for a job.
Right, no. And they don't have to look for a quarterback, which we know is the hardest position to find one that is actually a franchise guy. It's just that simple. Again, I mean, I hate to keep going back to the Raiders, but they've been looking for their franchise guy for quite a while. Even while they still had Derek Carr, they were probably still looking for, you know, their franchise guy.
And they're still
great
looking.
Example. And that's, you know what they didn't do? Draft a quarterback when they wanted one, not when they needed one. When they had Derek Carr.
Right.
All right, Cam. Sneaky Cam trivia. No Hembo today, although I did get a text from Hembo. I have to respond. I think it is the longest text in the history of text.
Wow. He wrote you a novel.
I'm out on those. Anytime
okay.
I get those, I'm
gonna
I'm
show.
Out.
I'm gonna show you this. I haven't even read it. Okay, ready? Here, look at this.
No, I'm out.
Explain to everybody how many paragraphs.
Yeah,
this is.
I mean, this is a thesis, man. I mean, you have those in college courses, and there's a reason I didn't do well in college courses. I'm out on that one.
Did you guys get the Hembo draft text?
No, you should just respond with one word. I think that would be funny.
Just do okay. Okay, or a thumbs up.
I'm gonna ask you guys a trivia question here.
Go ahead. Sorry, Cam.
Michael Penix Jr. is the seventh left-handed quarterback in the common draft era to get taken in the first round. This is a tough one, but Evan's a big draft guy. Name the other six. Other left-handed quarterbacks.
What do you mean you're out? Q knows everything about everything except for the internet. You're not out.
Drafted in the first round in the common draft era.
We will get to that coming up next. A more draft conversation. Believe it or not, Q and I have already had a preemptive argument. We are very much on opposite sides of something that make no sense based on the sides we're on. I'll explain what that means coming up. It is Greeny, along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Greeny, the podcast.
Along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Normally you hear Q game night every single night starting at 10 p.m. Eastern time. Me on Sportsmanlike every single morning, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern time here on ESPN Radio.
I got to start coming and hanging out with you guys in the morning. How about that? I'm just going to randomly drop in on the morning show.
It's fine.
Just randomly. Just be like, resident Super Bowl champ, what's up? Evan Cohen, what's up? Shell Smallman, what up? It's your resident night guy. Game night. Q, hanging out with you.
That's a long flight just to drop in on the studio. They're in New York.
I mean, you know, now that I'm on the internet, I mean, I can do a lot of great things.
You think because you're on the internet, you could fly now? You can book a flight.
I could book a flight. I could do all kinds of things, man. Look, I'm adulting, man. I'm starting to learn how to adult at my age of 47. I'm starting to adult.
All right,
how about that?
2024 NFL Draft on ESPN Radio, presented by ESPN Bet, where we are here in Detroit. Second and third round coverage begins tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern on most of these ESPN Radio stations, Sirius XM 80, and, of course, the ESPN app. All right, we have Sneaky Cam Trivia. Cam, what do you have for us?
Yep, tough one for you guys. Michael Penix Jr. becomes the seventh left-handed quarterback in the Common Draft era, which is since 1967, to get taken in the first round. You, Bubba, and Q need to name the other six. The 1984 supplemental draft does not count, so Steve Young is not on this list.
All right. Admittedly, we are struggling on this. Admittedly, I have performed horribly on this and really given us no help as someone that handwrites the draft every single year since I was a little kid. I have done literally nothing to help us. So let's just go with the ones that we definitely know for sure. Michael Vick.
Boom.
That is correct. 2001, Michael Vick was the first overall pick.
All right, Tua.
Boom.
We know for sure.
Tua is correct. He was the fifth overall pick in 2020. You have two out of six.
All right, we believe we know this for sure. We're going to trust Q on this. Why would we not? Todd Marinovich by the Raiders out of USC back in the day.
Boom.
Todd Marinovich is correct. In 1991, the 24th overall pick. Thought that one might have been the hardest one, so you got three out of six.
We got
clearly
Q here.
That was not the hardest one.
Yeah,
I figured right. Q would help out on that front for sure.
There you go.
All right, names that we have mentioned in prep of this: Boomer Esiason, Mark Brunell, Kenny Stabler.
Stabler was a second round pick,
right?
For
so
sure.
We're going to take him off the board. Brunell coming out of Washington, they did win a bunch when he was in. For some reason, I feel better about Boomer than I do Brunell.
I do too.
Bubba, what about you?
Well, I think you initially said Boomer second round pick, right? And we're saying...
No, I did. I don't think I meant to say that. If I did, I apologize. Where do you have more faith, Bubba?
Let's go Brunell.
All right, we'll go Brunell first. We're going to go with both of them anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, really we'll go matter. With Mark Brunell.
We don't have anyone else.
Mark Brunell is incorrect.
Ah!
Mark Brunell was drafted in the fifth round in 1993.
Oh, jeez.
Well, we wasn't even
just a little
close.
Outside.
Okay, how about Boomer?
Boomer is a second-round pick.
Ooh.
I'll give you the other three. Tim Tebow in 2010.
Oh, my God. How do we forget that?
25th
overall
pick.
Because he's an H-back.
Stop it.
What a Matt Leinart in 2006.
Oh, my God. I should know these
10th
guys.
10th overall.
God. Yeah.
And last
terrible.
One in 1999, Cade McNown, the 12th overall pick.
I was at that draft.
Aren't you at every draft?
No, but not every draft. But
man,
I was at the Cade McNown one, UCLA by the Bears.
We should have at least gotten Tebow, for crying out loud.
We should have gotten Leinart for sure.
And we should have gotten Leinart. That is as poor of a performance as three people has ever had.
For sure. Sure.
That's horrible.
That is seriously horrible.
I thought McNown and Marinovic you would have to really think about, and I figured Q would help get Marinovic, and I've heard Bubba say McNown's name before, so you know that's enough knowledge for me to have confidence
in that.
So rough performance.
That was awful that we didn't get Matt Leinart. I mean, Matt Leinart we should have got. That should have been a no-brainer.
I loved that USC team. I loved watching that USC team against Notre Dame, and I think one of the best regular season college football games ever, 2005, I'm not mistaken.
I used to – man, I would literally stay at the barbershop even after I got my haircut if those USC teams were on because I didn't want to miss any of the action.
That's how
great those games were.
And we screwed the whole thing up.
Yeah, we did.
So, wait, just before we move on here, do we want to use lefty quarterbacks as a measure for success?
No.
We don't?
No,
we don't want to group lefty quarterbacks together?
A quarterback's a quarterback.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Why?
Well, I mean, a quarterback is a quarterback.
I obviously have
to agree with that statement.
I feel like we categorize everything.
No, I will. Here's the thing, and I've defended the Penix pick. I would argue that I'm not a big lefty quarterback guy in general because the ball comes off the hand. And the ball comes off the hand differently for the receivers to see. You have to switch the protection from left to right.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different things that don't necessarily go exactly the same way as the righty quarterback. I'm not going to necessarily do that to Penix because Penix can sling the ball in a way that most quarterbacks cannot. That obviously was the story of the draft last night. But as we looked through the different teams that drafted quarterbacks and what they did and those that didn't. So Caleb Williams, no-brainer, obviously, for Chicago.
Right.
They also get Rome Odunze at 9 overall. They do not make a trade with that. And they get those two guys as weapons.
Fantastic. Fantastic. There's just more and more to like about Chicago and what they've got going on. What they built around Caleb before they even selected him and what they got after they selected him.
And I think Chicago in general has to change mindset right now. I don't think you can live in this, it's not going to work out, we stink historically at picking quarterbacks. I think you got to get out of that mindset. You have to have the mindset of, we know what we're doing. We have a potentially great quarterback. We have depth at skill positions now and logic. And what I mean by that with logic is DJ Moore is your guy. Keenan Allen is a veteran. Rome Odunze does not have to catch 100 balls this year. But what he does is have to attach himself to Keenan Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Just learn from him.
Yep.
Just attach yourself to a guy that is the ultimate pro and a great player.
You know, he told me the other day, I asked him who were the wide receivers that he looked up to coming up. Keenan Allen was one of them.
Did he know he was drafted
no
by the
problem.
Bears?
What happened?
You think he knew he was getting drafted by the Bears?
I mean, I'm sure he had a pretty good idea just based off of, you know, looking at, you know, where the wide receivers are going to go and the Bears having that second option. But Keenan Allen was one of his guys, so I'm sure he has no problem latching to him.
And I'm not suggesting that Caleb Williams is going to win MVP, but I know at ESPN Bet here in Detroit, plus 5,000 Caleb Williams MVP. It's not the worst bet in the world because if they win the division somehow, he's going to win MVP.
I mean, C.J. Stroud was in the conversation of MVP last year. I just don't think it's realistic that a rookie quarterback is going to win the MVP.
I agree with you, but that's not the worst bet I've ever heard. So then two overall, Jaden Daniels, who I feel in a way has like not been talked about that much in comparison to the other quarterbacks. So they get Jaden Daniels at number two overall, Washington. New England gets their guy, number three overall, Drake May. I pat him on the back three times he walked off the stage. Security removed me last night. No big deal. That is true. And then it's interesting. Penix goes 8. J.J. McCarthy becomes the 5th quarterback that's drafted out of Michigan. And Minnesota, we've talked for the last however many weeks, Q, about them using 11 and 23 to move up to 4, to 5, maybe even all the way to 3 and give up next year's 1. They had to move up one slot to get J.J. McCarthy, did not give up their second first rounder, and got him at 10.
And I didn't understand why they moved up.
I thought the same thing initially. I have to assume that they knew that there was going to be another team that was going to jump them. That Denver was looking at it. Your Raiders were looking at it maybe to move up to number 10 overall. Jets moved down to 13 where your Raiders are picking. And maybe that, and just because everybody knew Minnesota at 11 was going to take him.
Right. That was a no-brainer. I don't think that the Raiders were interested in J.J. McCarthy. I could have been way off, right? I don't think that they were interested in him, though. So I'm not too sure. That was one of the ones that made me scratch my head while it's going down in real time. I was like, wait, hold on. They only moved up one spot, and obviously the Jets weren't going to get him, so what was the key?
You say obviously, and they you're right, but you also did, I think, intelligently suggest that the Jets should have considered
something like that. I think they should have. I just don't think they would have because it would have hurt Aaron Rodgers' feelings.
Yes, of course. Then you've got an interesting one with Bo Nix going to Denver. A lot of people did not think Bo Nix was even going to be a first rounder. We sat here yesterday filling in for Greeny, you and I, discussing whether or not he'd be a first rounder. I said I thought we were going to have six quarterbacks taken in the top 16. Six in the top 12 is right. Even greater than I thought in this spot. What do you think about Denver at 12 getting Bo Nix?
Well, the quickness that they turned the card in let you know that was their guy, right?
That's their guy.
And he had been talked about and teamed up with Sean Payton for a very long time. I just didn't know if it was, you know, real or if it was just draft time of the year talk. So, you know, when they turned in that card as quickly as they did, I was like, okay, that's no-brainer that it's going to be Bo Nix. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for him. I mean, he gets with Sean Payton. Sean Payton has his quarterback. They know the rest of the quarterback room wasn't, you know, deep or anything. It had Jarrett Stidham. They just made the move for Zach Wilson from the Jets. And so, you know, that's kind of like a project and seeing what they can get out of him. Ben DiNucci's there. You know, didn't think there was a whole lot in that quarterback room. So now they get their guy. Sean Payton could go to work and see what he can do with Bo Nix.
So here's where it gets interesting in terms of the teams that passed. The Giants did not take a quarterback at six. They took Malik Nabers, the wide receiver out of LSU. If I could read into that and guess what's going on, I could be wrong on this. If I'm ownership in New York, if I'm the Maras, if I'm Tisch, I'm not letting them take a quarterback because I don't know that they're going to be there for that young quarterback if they don't succeed this year.
Gotcha. Yep.
And I don't know that I want a new head coach having to inherit a quarterback on a rookie scale deal that he doesn't actually like.
That wasn't his guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, I mean, you do have Daniel Jones, and you're hoping that when he gets back and he's healthy that he's good to go. Of course, he's not going to start the season as the quarterback, but he'll get in there eventually. And so you'll see if they can save him. But, yeah, there was conversations about Brian Daboll and if he was going to be around even this upcoming year about halfway through last season. So, I mean, that does make sense. And if they're going to get a quarterback, they'd rather a new staff. If, in fact, there is a new staff,
right,
their own guy. That
all
makes
right.
sense.
So now we get to 13. The Las Vegas Raiders. A team, for those who don't know, about the great Q Myers that he's covering on a daily basis, that he does radio shows in Vegas, as well as here on ESPN Radio. And you are attached to that team on a day-to-day basis relative to your coverage of it. What did you think they were going to do going into the draft? And how did you think the night played out for them?
Well, I thought at first it was going to be Michael Penix, right? That was a no-brainer. As soon as Jaden Daniels was off the board to Washington, it was, okay, Michael Penix, no doubt about it. That's going to pencil him in. He's going to be the Raiders quarterback, and he'll compete with Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew this year and could potentially start. Doesn't have to, but could potentially. Once Penix was gone, I was pretty convinced that it was going to be an offensive tackle or it was going to be one of the cornerbacks there. It was either going to be Arnold, it was going to be Mitchell, or it was going to be a guy like Fuaga. And then it wasn't. Then it was Brock Bowers. And I'm not going to lie to you, I was very shocked. I mean, we did this show filling in on Greeny yesterday, and I thought that Brock Bowers was going to have a little bit of a slide. And I guess he did, because most people had him mocked to go, you know, as high as or as low as like number 10 to the Jets. I mean, there was a big range, like 8 to 15, where it looked like Brock Bowers was going to go. The Raiders picked him at number 13. So I was really initially shocked. And even a little confused by it, not because he's a bad player, because he's a fantastic player, but it just wasn't somebody that was on my radar, even a position that was on my radar for the Raiders. And normally when I'm shocked by their pick, it's because they pick Damon Arnett, or they pick Alex Leatherwood, or they pick insert bad player here. They picked a really good player, just didn't expect it.
All right, we're going to continue that conversation, obviously, about the Raiders, because there's a lot more to do. But coming up, Greeny is going to join us. He hosted the draft last night, of course, on ESPN. We will talk to Mike Greenberg next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills.
your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback, Washington.
I understand why they want to have a succession plan for Kirk Cousins. Schematically, I just don't really like the fit.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance along with Q Myers, Evan Cohen. In for Greeny, who you saw last night on ESPN, you will see tonight, draft coverage, rounds 2 and 3 this evening. And Greeny is kind enough to join us now on a night after, a day after, excuse me. Obviously, the number one storyline from the NFL draft, the much maligned QB rules. Rule number 2, draft a QB when you want one, not when you need one. Michael Penix Jr. going number 8 overall to the Atlanta Falcons with Kirk Cousins. Greeny, big night for the QB rules. Your reaction to Penix number 8 overall?
Well, I mean, the next QB rule is don't draft a quarterback when the last thing in the world you need is one. So I would think that could be a little corollary. You know, it's interesting. Sitting where I'm sitting when it happens, one of the things that we have learned over the years is that the fans don't want us to dwell on things that happened earlier in the night while the picks are being made. So while the rest of the world has probably spent every waking moment reacting to that decision since it happened, you know, we gave our initial reaction, which was one of abject shock, but moved on pretty quickly. The next pick got made and off we went, and there were, you know, two more quarterbacks taken almost immediately thereafter. So I've probably spent less time focused on talking about and thinking about that decision than practically everybody else. So I would describe my reaction as stunned, somewhat disbelieving. I'm one who has been saying for weeks since they signed Cousins, assuming his Achilles is fine, which I can't believe they would have given him $100 million if it wasn't. I feel that the Falcons are a sneaky Super Bowl contender with Cousins as their quarterback. So to draft someone who isn't going to contribute to that in a perfect world at all just doesn't make any sense to me, whether he's 24 years old or 21 years old or anywhere else. So I'm fully surprised, as I think everyone else is, and I don't really understand the logic.
When you look at the Falcons, where do you think they could have gone to improve their team immediately and increase those Super Bowl odds that you're talking about?
Well, I mean, defense. They have the fewest sacks of any team in the NFL over the last 3 seasons. I think the number was 81, or I had the stat last night, 81 or 85 sacks over the last 3 seasons combined, the fewest in the NFL. But all of the pass rushers were still sitting there, whichever one they wanted. If they liked Leiatu Latsu, they could have taken him. If they were too worried about the medical on him, which they obviously weren't worried about with Penix, they could have taken Dallas Turner, who's a really good pass rusher out of Alabama, who went later than we expected. They could have easily traded back and taken multiple defensive players if they wanted, because teams clearly were looking to come up to get quarterbacks, if you look at all 6 of them going in the first 12 picks. So I think they had a million options. Of all the options they had, I think they chose the least understandable one. Now, if in their minds this guy is just too good to pass up on the opportunity to sit and wait for him, I guess I understand that. If he winds up being a great quarterback in the NFL for 10 years, then it won't make any difference, I suppose, how they wound up getting him. But that feels like so far away. I am going to have a very hard time allowing anyone to explain this in a way that it makes sense to me.
Greeny, top 5 of the draft felt very much chalky. Top 6 or 7, you could even go at that point last night. Doesn't mean it was wrong. It just means it was suspected. Did you agree with the top 7 prior to Penix?
Largely. I'm surprised the Giants didn't take a quarterback. Look, here's at the end of the day, I actually tweeted this yesterday because I was on another show and someone was making the point, well, the Patriots have to come out of this weekend with a quarterback. And I think that's a mistake. You don't have to come out with a quarterback if you don't like the ones who were there. You are better off still looking for the right one than trying to fix the wrong one. So I guess I can't sit here and say the Giants got this wrong by taking Malik Nabers and not taking J.J. McCarthy if they don't believe J.J. McCarthy is going to be a great NFL player, and they wouldn't be the only team that doesn't think that. So I wouldn't say they got that wrong, but what I would say is I think that's a situation that didn't get a whole lot better. Getting Malik Nabers as an outstanding weapon for Daniel Jones will make Daniel Jones marginally better, but I still don't believe that the next time the Giants are going to do any really high-level winning, he's going to be their quarterback. So I would start there. The others, Joe Alt, I think, is a great player, a great pick. I love the Jets pick. I know that isn't top seven, but I love the Jets going for the offensive lineman, not taking the tight end. So I thought that was terrific. The run on quarterbacks just was what it was. It was unprecedented, and it completely defined the first half of the first round. So if you love a quarterback, then you've got to take one. So I can't say any of them I thought were a mistake. Marvin Harrison Jr. is a great player. It was the most mocked draft that we've ever seen up until the Penix thing just threw the whole thing into disarray.
Well, Greeny, I'm locally in Las Vegas all the time, so I'm covering the Raiders, and they did take the tight end. They took Bowers at 13. I thought Michael Penix would be in play for him, but obviously he wasn't when he went number 8 overall. What did you think about Bowers going to the Raiders and not an offensive lineman, cornerback, or other?
Well, I mean, they just took a tight end that everybody liked last year, too, Michael Mayer. And look, I think the Raiders had to be a little shell-shocked. I agree with you. They just got beat to the punch. I think Penix going to Atlanta stunned everyone, including them, and they obviously just weren't able to recover in time, and none of the quarterbacks were there when they wanted them. I think Bowers is a terrific player. Don't get me wrong. The Jets had a very specific need, I thought, at offensive line, and I'm glad that they addressed it. But I think Bowers is a great player. He'll be a really nice weapon over the middle of the field. The problem is who's going to throw him the football. So the Raiders weren't able to get done what I'm sure they wanted to get done, or I shouldn't say I'm sure, what I assume they wanted to get done. There are other quarterbacks who will get drafted. Maybe the Raiders will take Spencer Rattler tonight. He's I think, the next quarterback on most people's boards. And while we always spend the draft build-up process only talking about the first-round guys, you know, Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott and plenty of other really good Kirk Cousins and plenty of other really good players have come on day 2 and 3. So there'll still be that opportunity for the Raiders. But that I think, was a team that really wanted to come out of this with a quarterback and so far hasn't been able to do it.
Greeny, the Bills and the Chiefs made a trade last night. Your reaction when that happened?
Don't get me started.
Go for it.
If you are the Bills, how do you just hand Tyreek Hill 2.0 to Kansas City? So I understand that Buffalo will still get the player they want. What everyone is telling me is that by moving where they did into the second round, they will still get A.D. Mitchell, the receiver out of Texas, formerly of Georgia, who apparently is the guy they liked all along, and pick up some extra draft picks. So I can't say that's a bad idea. That's obviously a well-used, good usage of your draft capital. But, you know, Kansas City is the mountain they can't climb. And they just handed on a silver platter to Kansas City the one thing the Chiefs most desperately need. They need a burner. This kid, for anyone who doesn't know, ran a 4.21 at the combine, the fastest recorded time in at least 20 years. So they just handed them, you know, exactly what they were missing to their arch rival, or at least the team that they most desperately need to try and find a way to beat. So I was really taken aback by that. Again, I understand the logic of doing it. They traded back twice, picked up whatever it is they picked up in those deals, and will still get the guy that apparently they want. That makes sense. But to do it with Kansas City, I don't know. To me, that doesn't pass the smell test.
Greeny, I have to ask you about Detroit. Obviously, we're here in Detroit. The city's done a fantastic job with the draft. The fans came out. What about the team? The Lions, they trade up to go get Terrion Arnold. Feels like a really good fit there with Dan Campbell.
Absolutely. The biggest surprise of the night, actually, the quarterbacks all going wasn't a surprise. I think the biggest surprise of the night were all the corners falling. I am a huge believer personally that a really good cornerback is actually the most important player on a defense, and no defensive back going in the top 20 of last night's draft was unprecedented. It had never happened before. So all the teams that really needed corners got them later on. There was all this talk that the Eagles might trade up to 12 to take one of the corners, and they wound up getting the corner of their choice where they sat put at 22. And Terrion Arnold, a terrific player, and Nate Wiggins, a terrific player, falling all the way down to Baltimore. It's not the sexy story that the quarterbacks are, but I think the corners falling as far as they did might actually be as important a story as there was in round one.
Greeny, we got about 15 seconds. I just want to tell you something before you go. Hembo sent me a 26-paragraph text this morning. I'm not kidding. A 26-paragraph text.
So what you're suggesting is that's much shorter than his usual one, and you're worried that he was obviously busy doing something else?
Greeny, you're the best. We'll see you tonight on ESPN. Mike Greenberg, of course, Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.